Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites where you can find the truth, HagmanReportLive.com. There, the video, audio elements, assets, HagmanReportLive.com. HagmanReport.com there for the print, contributors' articles, my articles, my thoughts, and such. HagmanStore.com as well. I would urge everyone to support this broadcast. Get some coffee at HagmanStore.com. Three types: Detective's Choice, Hypercaffeinated, Patriot, and Revolution Blend Coffee. It's gourmet coffee. Proceeds support the boots on the ground fight against the human trafficking. Have a great show lined up for you today. Have some information I want to share with you in a very formal, proper format. A number of things taking place. You know, the war in which we find ourselves right now is extreme. At least in terms of the ideological drive and drivers behind the enemy. We are facing an internal insurrection. It is fascist, communist, socialist versus us. Now, I want to clear something up. When Randy Taylor was on the show, we were talking about, and I saw some comments on this on the YouTube comments. We were talking about the extreme left and the extreme right, and a comment was made about the extreme right, that being, you know, the neo-Nazi kind of mindset on the very, very, very far right. And fascist on the very far right. That was a misstatement, or it was contextually inaccurate. The fascists, the Nazis, they're all on the left, the far left. Understand that. And if anything was said to the contrary, look, you know, you go through information, and I got to tell you, folks, when you just go through constant information, sometimes you make a mistake. But to be clear, fascism, it's a leftist ideology. It's not a far-right idea. It's a leftist ideology. Socialism, communism, all far-left. Nazism, you think it's far-right? No. Far-left. It's a leftist ideology. I want to just make that clear. Now, there's some headlines. I mean, so many headlines. Right now, we are at the intersection of the insurrection, and some of the tools of the insurrectionists include the coronavirus. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, obviously, the response to the coronavirus, not the coronavirus itself. Although the coronavirus itself, you know, hey, biological weapon. And you might say, well, that was a pretty stupid biological weapon, because it's certainly, you know, the fatality rate is nothing. Well, what was it designed to do? If it was designed to disrupt and distract and to, you know, throw a monkey wrench into the mix, a fly in the ointment, if you will, well, there it is. But we don't know as well. We don't know the entire, you know, coronavirus 2.0. We don't know what that's going to do, but see the response. And we're talking about this bio response is we really need to pay attention to, because the forced vaccinations, and I'm going to be getting into this deeper, the skewing of the numbers. Now look, this virus is real. It's a real virus. People do get sick. People do get dead from this. But again, as I've often said, every show, the timing is a little bit curious, isn't it? You want to destroy an economy? Just look at what this response has done in terms of destroying the economy. All right. By the way, I want to wish Lady the Studio Dog a happy 6th birthday. Lady the Studio Dog, happy birthday. 6 years by my side, all 6, by the way. So, and again, I want to say thank you to everyone supporting us. If you support us, thank you. I've got some announcements about that because you know Randy Taylor and, well, we are assembling a team of, and have us, I shouldn't say are, we have assembled, but we're bringing in people on board every week. So for the past 90 days, 80 days of which we were pretty quiet. We didn't say anything about it, but the last week or so, 10 days, we've disclosed to you that behind the scenes with respect to infiltration of groups such as Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all of these people who are promoting and actually engaging in riots, there's some infiltration, and we will expose these anarchists as we follow the money, follow the people, and conduct surveillance. I'm telling you, this, folks, you've got no idea how deep this goes. I mean, how deep this goes, how much the rot is. You know, you talk about the swamp. Yeah, it's a swamp, all right. It's an unending swamp. All right. I want to thank you, the supporters, again. Thank you so much for your support. Without your support, we could not do what we do. We appreciate that. Whether it's Patreon, and I want to thank all of our members on Patreon, PayPal, whether you send a letter, a check in the mail. Thank you so very much. Because again, we don't squander any of this. We're very careful with how we spend our money, and we invest our money into things that'll take us, it will produce results. Our biggest expense is payroll and paying people to, again, to infiltrate, to investigate, and to be part of this investigation that we're conducting. So it really helps. And speaking of support, corporate sponsors are great. I want to thank Lightstream. Folks, did you know that refinancing your credit card balance can lower your interest rate and save you money? Of course. And you don't have to be a financial expert to do it. Lightstream has helped members of our family, friends of mine, listeners, incredibly, so incredibly. I can't say enough good about Lightstream. You get a fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream, and you could save thousands of dollars in interest. Rates start at 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. That's much lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. Think about that. From 19% to 5.95%. Think about that. And you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. The application is 100% online, and you can even get your money in your bank account as soon as the same day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Now, here's how to take advantage of this offer. My listeners can apply today for a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, there's two N's on Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. LIGHTSTREAM. Lightstream. Did I spell that right? Let me try this again. LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman. I wonder if I could spell Hagman correctly. HAGMANN. I did it. There you go. Now, this is subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. All right. Thank you, Lightstream, and thank you, again, to our supporters. We appreciate you. And you know, this coronavirus response has decimated our support. I'm going to tell you flat out. It has. I mean, heck, we can't maintain the payment on our Learjet. my Bentley, you know, it's got four flat tires. Eric the Tech, his, what do you have, a Lamborghini? Oh, no, that's Planned Parenthood. You've got...
I would never own a Lamborghini.
I don't even... I don't think I've ever seen one in real life.
Come on. Classic. Let's go classic Chevy.
There you go. Anyway, no, I'm joking, of course. You know, it's interesting to see how many... I want to thank Eric the Tech, by the way.
We drive normal cars.
Normal cars? Yeah. You won't let me drive.
No, Doug's not allowed to drive.
You want to tell him why?
Well, A, you're angry. And B, the first time Doug drove me somewhere, within 10 seconds, we almost died. So from there on, I think you did it on purpose. So I'll drive him to D.C. I'll drive him to New York City, wherever we got to go. I drive the whole way.
Hey, guys.
He doesn't see lines either.
Oh, they're just suggestive markings. They're just suggestions. I mean, see, I'm telling you guys. Okay, so here's the deal. If you ever want, like, you just play dumb. You just play like, I can't drive. I don't know. No, Eric the Tech is, I couldn't do this without Eric the Tech. It's amazing what we do on a shoestring. And thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, thanks. Thanks, Eric. And thanks for providing the shoestring, guys. Thank you. Appreciate that.
And we do that out of respect to our listeners that support us, too, because we try to stretch money as far as we can.
Yes. Yeah, we will spend, and Eric, I can't believe him. You know, he'll spend days, like, searching out the best price of a soundboard or whatever we need. And
we're not saying it's cheap.
No.
But it's much less expensive than we could have or can spend.
And you know, Eric, I was looking at somebody that had this big studio. It's, I mean, someone everyone knows, and in the alternative media, and you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm thinking, man, you know, if you could see what Eric did to, I mean,
our equipment list is under 100,000, easy.
Under 100,000.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is very cheap.
Yeah. However, the one unit that powers the studio is, I mean, that unit itself is 10 grand. So, I mean.
Yeah, it's a used car.
Yeah. Or to me, a new car. Yugo. Remember the Yugos? Anyway.
Suzuki Kisashi?
Yeah. All right, let's get right to it. Yeah, it's Friday, so relax, everyone. It's Friday. And, again, Ricky is fixing up some good stuff. When are you going to make, Ricky, when are you going to make, throw a pizza in the oven, homemade pizza? I'm dying for one of those. Yeah, all right. So let's get right to it. I want to present to you some information I think is important that we need to cover. And right now we're in the middle of an insurrection. Let's see. Let me open it on my computer so we can follow along. I can follow along with the with everything here. All right. I've titled the report today, the Hagman Report Investigative Team, We Are at War. And this is, in fact, when I say the Hagman Report Investigative Team, again, we've developed a number of investigative assets. They're undercover, both in person and in virtually, okay, to fight the fascist insurrection. We just have over 100 days before the election. This is going to be the most important election of our lifetime, I guarantee you, even more important than the last election. So what's going on here? The next slide is really the what it's all about. And you remember when Donald Trump tweeted this out. In reality, they're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in the way. All right. Now, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if he did this or if this was done and he retweeted it. But look, I just don't know. I don't know. But that is the reality that we're facing. Never forget, folks, we are their targets. That means you who are, if you're listening to this and watching this, you are a target. And the assaults are asymmetrical. You post on Facebook, as I said yesterday, you post on Facebook, you post on Twitter, if that's what you do, and you happen to be conservative, show your conservative bias, you're going to lose family members, you're going to lose friends, they're going to come after you like you've never seen before. We understand that, right? All right, so then you are a well-known talk show host. Hey, what about Michael Savage? Matt sent me something from Breitbart, I believe it was, about Michael Savage. And I told you this, I had told you this this week, and this is what we're fighting. Police are investigating most intense death threats of Michael Savage's career. Die, mother effer, die. Okay, now, when you look into the reason for this, this is not because of his political beliefs alone. The death threats are for supporting President Trump. And you may say, well, they go hand in hand. Yes, however, it's different. What's different between the threats and the anger from 2016 to 2020? It's almost like night and day. There's been an evolution, and please follow me on this. All of this, I'm going to tie all of this together. You're going to see a bunch of disparate or seemingly disparate things, but I'm going to tie this all together and tell you what's really taking place. And this is not based on just reading headlines. This is not based on open source information. This is based on our own investigation, some of which we will show you as we get clearance or clear it from Clarence. Clarence from Clarence. I'm kidding. Reference to airport, but as we get clearance to do so. All right. So what kind of death threat did Michael Savage receive? Now, this came in there were actually two, and you can go to Breitbart. That's the source, open source on this. You can go to Breitbart and you can take a look. There was also something that was mailed to him. I'm not sure. I think that's open source on Breitbart as well. But understand this. If you are on the radio, you are a target. Now, it's one thing to have, like when Coach Dave goes on, he gets, of course, you know, he's the favorite of Kyle from Right Wing Watch. I'm serious. Kyle's just obsessed with Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. Why is that? Why is that? It's the way it is. So there's that attempted takedown, but then there's this stuff that happens to us. You know, we talk about the LGBTQ agenda, and you know, we get used condoms sent in the mail to us. Now, my wife doesn't like that. Of course, we know we had to stop having her open the mail and go through a whole different process. But see, this is all of us. It's going to be all of us. But okay, let's get back to Michael Savage. What was said in the email? Now, I'm going to warn you, if you've got children in the room who can read and you're watching this, you might want to cover their eyes. Here's the email that was sent to them. I'm not going to read it. You can read it yourself. But I want to point a couple of things out. When you look at this from a forensic analysis point of view, there's a couple of things that jump out. And if you look on the right-hand side, you've got a couple of points that I made just by looking at this. I've got a friend who is at the academy in Quantico. And we were talking about this threat and other threats, and I'll just leave it at that. But a couple of things that jump out. Obviously, number one, first and foremost is the support for President Trump. The second thing is this anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic golden thread that's really coming to the forefront like you cannot believe. Okay? And I'm going to be getting to that momentarily. Then you've got this reference to the Second Amendment. Well, it's really not in there, but it's inherent in this anti-guns, anti-Second Amendment ideology. Now, if you go on specific forums, and I'll just use Democratic Underground, for example, because that's open source, you can go on them, and you can see that the individuals who are anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment will, if you're a guy, of course, you know, they call weapons, the AR-15s, you know, penis extenders, okay? You're compensating for a small penis. That's their philosophy, or that's their mindset. But the anti-Second Amendment, keep this in mind. Although it's not explicitly stated in this threat, there is that element, again, from a forensic analysis point of view, anti-Second Amendment. I didn't see it. I mean, it was during the conversation with the my friend at the academy. All right. Then you've got something else here I'm going to point out. Threats to family and pets. Don't take this lightly. We think about threats to ourselves. I mean, if you're listening to this, you think, you know, if you have a show or if you've got a presence and you're a guy, you think about, okay, threats to you. But the way to get to you is through your friend or your family, and that includes your pets. Believe me, you come near my dog, you're not going to have just my dog to deal with, okay? You don't touch my wife or my dog or Eric the tech. Of course, he can handle himself. And then, threat to President Trump and family. That's another key point here. The support for President Trump and then the threat to President Trump. Two distinctly different issues, but a part of the same common thread. And then, of course, the graphic nature, the explicit language, but the graphic nature of the threat is meant to disturb you, disturb the recipient. Now, this was published on Breitbart, so okay, just so you know. All right. So let's stop right there. Again, these are seemingly disparate points or different points that I'm going to kind of wrap up at the end here because I want you to understand to the best that I can explain what this is all about. All right. Let's talk about Corona, the communist Chinese virus, and the response. And you say, let's not. I agree. Eric the Tech's got a video that I grabbed from Fox News. It's a 2-minute video. I would ask that you listen to this because a big part of what's taking place right now is an attempt to make President Trump look ineffective and to blame this resurgence of the coronavirus infectious rate on President Trump. Now, they just cannot do it alone, you know, with the facts. No, they've got to do things differently. They've actually have to munge the numbers. Now, we know this. To those people who are watching this and you don't watch the news, that's fine. But the next time maybe somebody on Facebook or Twitter, whatever. Next time they come out and say, you know what, look at the numbers don't lie, the infection rates, the deaths, and so on. What's this all about? I mean, you can show them this. Remember that the CDC is part of the world, is a subpart of the World Health Organization, essentially, okay, in the workings of it. And that's a wholly owned subsidiary, shall we say, of the United Nations. And of course, the globalists are behind all of that. So who's really screwing with the numbers? It's the globalists. All right. So with that in mind, and with the fact that part of the fight in this insurrection has to do with the coronavirus, they need news to toss out there and to make you afraid. They need news to support the closures and the economic devastation. But when they get caught, oh, it's unpleasant when they get caught munging the numbers. Take a look at this video.
Cases. Did you hear about this? WOFL's Robert Gutierrez has the story in our Orlando affiliate. Robert, what did you discover about how they're counting the coronavirus tests?
Yeah, there seems to be confusion, Brian, on so many levels here with the coronavirus numbers. Now, we were tipped off that the numbers didn't quite look right on the state's daily case report. And looking at the breakdown of test labs, I quickly noticed astronomical positivity rates. Now, mind you, Florida's COVID-19 positivity rate is currently at just under 11%, but dozens of labs reported as having 100% positivity. Some only reporting positive cases. The negative column, absolutely blank. So I asked myself, how could 100% of people getting tested at these locations be testing positive? So I reached out to several of our major hospitals in the area, Orlando Health and the Orlando VA, confirming errors in their numbers in that report. So after several requests for comment, today the Florida Department of Health confirming that some small private labs have failed to report negative results, some reporting zero negative results. So the department says it is working to obtain those results and update the statewide report to fix those inaccuracies. But these labs are required by the state to report all test results, positive and negative. A spokesperson, here's something else that kind of adds to the confusion. A spokesperson for Lee Memorial Hospital, that's out of the Fort Myers area, tells me that they believe there is a problem with the state's data gathering system because it is their knowledge, their understanding, that the negative results from their hospital were submitted to the state. So, Brian, more questions to be answered, but this news all coming as so many Floridians already are doubting the numbers being reported by the state.
Because your death toll is so low, thankfully. When someone says 98% positive, I meant 9.4%. I want every Fox affiliate at least to do exactly what you did and pour over these numbers and make people back them up. And Robert, I'm going to get your name right now, unlike how I introduced you, Robert Guadarrama. How did I do?
Guadarrama. There you go.
Close? All right. Thanks a lot, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. That, to me, was one of the most important news nuggets, if you will, because what is taking place there is taking place all across the United States. Now, President Trump is aware of this, and he's made some changes of late. They're subtle changes. It's, for example, Brad Parscale. No more. He's not the head of the campaign anymore. Part of that, people are attributing, well, it's because of the poor turnout, the poor reception in Tulsa and such, and it's because of the campaign rallies and such. No, no, no. It's bigger than that. It's more than that. There's a way, or the way that he was, there was a difference of approach in terms of handling the news, this kind of news. There was a difference in approach of how to respond to the coronavirus shutdowns and such. There's a difference there. And you know who else was part of that, who had a problem with that? Jared Kushner. Two people, by the way, two people with very close to Donald Trump have been demoted or, in Jared Kushner's case, kind of muted. Okay, now, Again, these are seemingly different, you know, just picking random stuff out of the air. No, I'm getting to the ultimate point. Andrew Cuomo, New York is issuing a health order. This is, I saw this tweet. I want you to look at this tweet. This is on the presentation. New York is issuing an emergency health order. Out-of-state travelers from designated high COVID states must provide their contact information upon arrival. If you fail to provide it, you will receive a summons with a $2,000 fine. And he ends with, we're serious about enforcing quarantine. Well, that last sentence there says it all, but it's incorrect. It should say, we are serious about tracing you. And underneath that, there is a picture. Nazi Germany. Here are my travel papers. I'm an essential worker. What is Cuomo and others, other governors of the blue states, what are they doing with this $2,000 fine and fines like this? What are they doing with, if you come into our state, you've got to check in, you better have your health papers, and if you don't, then we're going to fine you. You've got to give us your name, your address, your health information, this and that. What's going on here? Okay, what happened in the late 1930s and early 1940s in Nazi Germany? How are dissidents identified? I want you to think about this. And of course, you'll say, well, I knew this. But are you seeing the refinement now of the process of collecting your information? Remember, Eric the Tech's the one that found the Google and Apple marriage in terms of providing contact tracing and contact information and surveillance apps on your iPhone. So you have an iPhone or an Android. Hey, I'll tell you what, the updates contain the infrastructure that will allow you to be traced. Now, right now, it's just the infrastructure with the update. And then an app that's voluntary that you can, you know, it's supposed to help you. But this is all part of what you saw with Cuomo. This is all part of this making a list.
And don't forget, you're already being traced.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Even before that app or that update.
Do tell. How am I being traced? I can't be. I'm not being traced. You are, actually. You're being tracked. And it's one smart cookie over there, and he understands the...
I'd assume that update is a way for them to get into the courtroom, saying, yes, I agree to being traced.
There it is. Just let that sink in for a second.
The infrastructure's been there.
Yep.
For a long time.
And that's it. For a long time. It's like that the frog in the boiling pot of water, the hot water, as it, you know, heats up.
Let's release all these smartphones so people can make calls and talk to each other.
Oh, it's so convenient. By the way, you know, I love it when I can pay, you know, with my phone. I don't even know how to do that. Or I love it when I can, you know, find my spouse or my child or whatever. I love it. Right? Convenience, security. Oh, it's all there. Yeah. No liberty. But everything else is there. So the timing of the coronavirus, if you had any doubt, is beyond, to me, it's beyond suspicious. It's almost proven to be factual that this was a weapon released by the globalists to usher in officially Papers, please. Why? If I told you a year ago that this would be happening, you'd say, well, no, it couldn't. But see, now with the threat of dying from this virus, it's a little bit different, isn't it? How many people do you know who a year ago would not have signed on, but are now? And you may say, well, I don't know anybody. You might not. I do. And if you don't, you got to get out more. This is the process. We're watching a process. All right. Now, again, seemingly random. I'm just yanking stuff out of the sky. Remember, was it yesterday? Whatever program I did this week, I was talking about Black Lives Matter and the complex funding and ideology of Black Lives Matter. Remember that? I don't remember when I did it. They had to add one of these similar things on. When was that, Eric? Was that this week?
That was yesterday, I believe.
Man, better check me into one of those old people places. All right.
I don't know. Maybe it was the day before.
I don't know. But I got to tell you, it seems... What is today? Friday, Thursday, Wednesday?
Who knows?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's there.
It's there. Thanks, bud. Well, Gateway Pundit this morning, Joe Hoft, Joe's been on the program, great guy. And the hat tip and sourcing to Gateway Pundit on this. This is his story. Exclusive. The Soros Open Society Foundation funded, supported groups and individuals behind U.S. riots since 2014. What did I tell you? What have I been saying? Well, there it is. Gateway Pundit. And again, you may say, well, that's, newsflash. Well, wait a minute. Let's look at the Movement Support Fund. He shows some information on the website. You can go to Gateway Pundit and you can look at this story. The link, I believe, will be in the program description box, but look at the names of the organizations. Now, Randy Taylor and I, we did not want to bring this up, but since this has been brought up, we haven't mentioned the Organization for Black Struggle. Didn't want to do that. It's there. So there it is. Organization for Black Struggle, or OBS. And then there's a Missouri Organizing for Reform and Empowerment, the acronym of which is MORE. They're pleased to offer travel funding for individuals and grassroots groups working to advocate for police accountability and black lives. In other words, they're pleased to pay for your travel to cause anarchy. And a fixed sum of $20,000 has been set aside for this initiative. Now, this is just one event, one situation. One initiative, and from the Gateway Pundit applicant, or from the Movement Support Fund, as shown on the Gateway Pundit, applications are fulfilled on a first come first served basis until the fixed sum is exhausted. In your application, please honor the guiding principle that your funded work travel will be collaborative and shared out to as many people as possible, meaning bring a friend, or two, or three, or five.
I might have to apply for this and go pick up my money.
It would be a pay raise, wouldn't it? Yeah. And you can read on, but this is something that Randy Taylor and the investigators which we have assembled are working on. And here's the other part of this. This is why I wanted to show you this as well. The timing of this is so critical. It is critical. Before the election, we have to stop and expose and then stop, of course, what is taking place. But here's the other thing that was not necessarily, I don't believe it was mentioned in the article. I don't know. Let me double check here. Maybe it was. The targets are suburban. They're tired of burning down their own neighborhoods. They're tired of hitting the stores in the cities. The targets now are suburban. And one of the biggest motivators that we have seen as we go through and have been accepted into certain groups, the motivating factors, the couple from Missouri, I keep seeing, we keep seeing their pictures, and we're going to get them. If you're white, we're going to come after you. If you have a nice house, we're coming after that house. And we're going to pick out where we're going to sleep in that house. We're going to pick out. In other words, they're going to take over.
Oh, you'll be sleeping.
Oh, yes, you will.
Night, night.
That's right. Now, there's also, and now this is not built into this, what the Gateway Pundit is saying. This also, there's also an ancillary program. There's a different section for talk show hosts. I'm just going to stop right there because I don't want to talk out of school on this, but I can tell you this. Anyone who is behind a microphone is being targeted. I talked to Dave Hodges about this. He's being targeted. Steve Quayle. Yours truly. Our families. Our homes. Our studios. Alex Jones. Believe me, Alex Jones. And you may say, no. They're going after him, Bennett. Oh, they're going after him and Owen and David Knight. Stuff they want to do to Millie Weaver, for example, Millennial Millie, who was on our program.
People only knew how much they have to pay in security.
Yeah. When you and I went to Washington, we had to have security because we did. That was a couple of grand for that one day.
Yeah. Yep. Just for one guy.
One guy. Protecting two of us. And I told the guys
that, could take out probably 100, so.
Well, it's true. But I did tell him, I said, save me, not him. No, yeah. I'm kidding, of course, but.
All of the security we've gotten, they've been awesome.
You know.
Really awesome.
And
they know who they are if they're listening. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you very much. And I know Steve Quayle pays for his own security. We pay for our own security.
We pay for Doug's security. Because I'm a gazelle.
Gazelle. Actually, that's a good descriptive term.
Yeah.
You are a gazelle.
Yep.
You should see him. I mean, he's a great, graceful. All right. But this is a big thing. So what we found, and I want to be serious about this for a moment, what we found in the movement support funds attached to these are not only are you going to target the unnamed suburbanites, unnamed target suburbanites, but you're also going to target, or they're also targeting talk show hosts. And if you've been shadow banned, or discussed, or in the crosshairs of Media Matters or Right Wing Watch, you're on that list. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, and they might not have been targeted yet, or have felt that target, but they're most likely on the list.
Yep. Yeah. You might not know it, but yeah, you're there. And at some point, you're going to see this in living color. You're going to see this. And I'm not talking about the attacks, but you're going to see the absolute hatred the ideological driven hatred against against you and against me and against everyone who feels this way. Which brings me to the next one. I mentioned about the suburban targets. From the front lines of Ferguson, this is the Open Society Foundation. If you notice this, now this was following the Ferguson riots. Following the protests in Ferguson, this is back now a couple of years, 2016. The Open Society Foundations, plural, because it's a group of 501c3s.
I think it's 15. Not that it matters, but.
Or 15. I can't.
It's very small.
Yeah. Thank you. So 5 years ago. Thanks for that. Appreciate that. The Open Society Foundations made several investments totaling $2.9 million to help community groups in Missouri advance initiatives to promote police accountability. What that means, back in 2015, they were not promoting police accountability. They were setting the stage to defund the police back in 2015. The same people who are now in office, and I have to say this. I had told you, for example, the prosecutor, the circuit prosecutor in Missouri, against a couple in Missouri. Why can't I remember their? You know, the guy with the AR and the woman in that Missouri home. The same prosecutor who's going after them back in 2015. According to the information we've developed, was getting money from Soros and groups associated with Soros to get in office. Now that she's in office, well, she's following the instructions of her handlers. So quickly, following the money, part of this is the infiltration, or part of the infiltration is once we get in and once as we are in, we follow the money. You saw a couple of slides ago about the where the money's coming from. That was the open source from Gateway Pundit. Big money equals big risk to operatives. So what we found is the more money being put out there, there's a equal risk to the operatives. So it's like, look. And I'll use this as an example. It costs more to hire a hitman than it does to hire a carpenter. Okay? I mean, so, you understand what I'm saying? You can read between the lines there. But by exposing the big money, we are exposing the true deep state. Now, in this particular communication, the Open Society Foundation's back from 2015, there's a name in there. I'm not going to say it on the air. You can see the name, and you can see when the organization relative to that name was founded. You're looking at 1980. So this is anything but new. Read this article. I would urge you, please. The link is there. You're really not going to be able to click on that link. I'll put it in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. All right, moving quickly.
And you can just search Joe Hoff.
There you go.
In the title of his article.
There you go.
It'll be right there.
Thank you. All right, very quickly. In addition, there is a war on police. Defunding the police means a war on police. The insurrection cannot survive without the anarchy that a police-less state accomplishes. Now, the source on this is 100%fedup.com. The war on police, if you look at that picture, Black Lives Matter protesters caught on video allegedly accepting a shipment of baseball bats for Stop the Violence protest on the Brooklyn Bridge, where NYPD officers were beaten with the bats. And if you watch the six second Twitter video thing, man, I'll tell you what, it's ugly. I'll just say that. So ugly I wasn't going to put it on there. But understand, concurrent with everything else, the war on police. Why? Because they don't want you in suburbia protected. They've already got the inner cities pretty well handled. And by the way, a little bit I don't want to use the word karma, but one of the cops that was beaten took a knee for these protesters. Think about that. Kind of like that mayor in Red Dawn. The war on police, the next one here, again, it's just this is a 10-second video. I'm not going to play it, but you've got de Blasio specifically waging war on NYPD. NYPD is one of the epicenters. And, of course, Minneapolis, that's similar but different. You've got a war against all police in blue areas. However, the big thing here is when you follow the money, this is all tied to this anarchist ideology by Soros, by Black Lives Matter, by this Marxist ideology. All right, the next one. Concurrent with all of this, war against Christians. Yes. Jesus statue found beheaded outside Catholic Church in Miami. Okay. How many events, horrible events, have we seen against Jews and Christians? You remember the shooting in the synagogue last year. You remember the graffiti on synagogues, especially in New York City. Concurrent with removing the police protection, concurrent with the war against people within suburbia, all hell is being unleashed against Jews and Christians. And of course, the next frame is the statue that was beheaded, vandalized at a church in Kendall. Lastly, next one. Again, very quickly. California to release 18,000 prisoners by the end of August. 18,000. Why? Because we need to slow down the spread of this coronavirus. Now, this compliments Daily Caller. And there's the attribution there on the right. You can find this at Daily Caller.
Yet they're going to put Roger Stone in.
Yeah, exactly. What are they doing here? And that's a good point, Eric. They're making room for, they're doing, this is a gift that's got like a number of different angles to it. Number one, they're putting violent people out on the street. Why? Because when you have police morale down here because there's a war against police, and you have stand down orders to police, and you throw in criminals into a society, oh, that just makes it that much better. That a force multiplier of the anarchy.
Sounds fun.
But what excuse are they using? It's the coronavirus, don't you know? Okay.
Go ahead. That sticking defund police thing, man.
Isn't that something?
Defund the defunded? It's like taking money away from schools. There is no money.
Well, no money getting to the right people. And no money getting for the right things, yes. They're already defunded, yeah. See, hyper-caffeinated. All right. So Newsom is going to release 18,000 prisoners by the end of August. Now, wait a second. So let me get this straight. Because of the coronavirus, response to the coronavirus, there's going to be a release of prisoners. That's going to make room for people. What do we see with Cuomo? It was Cuomo. Boy, if you don't register, we're going to give you a fine. Actually, they're going to toss you in prison. You're going to be guilty of either a misdemeanor, the equivalent. I'm not sure different states have different gradings and such, but you can see some prison time. Okay, so now you've got some room in the prisons. Because of the COVID-19 response, you've got prisoners being released because of this spread of COVID. You get people now that can go into the prisons because now that there's more, now there's more room. And as a kind of a little bit of a bow at the end, the 18,000 child molesters and such, well, you know, and violent felons, we can just have a party outside. They know what they're doing. But you see how all of this kind of connects. And when you start following the money, for example, Newsom and the attorney general in California. Who is the attorney general in California? Let me think. Seems to me I should know that, right? You know that, folks. So, okay. You see how all of this, and where is Barack Hussein Obama? He's still in Washington. So, you've got a number of things taking place. You've got the threats, the talk show hosts, you've got the attempted demoralization, you got people being told that we're going to win, you know, it's so stand down, meaning the anarchists are going to win. You've got all of this taking place. You've got a Justice Department on a larger scale. If you've been told, and if you've really felt, you know, that there's a plan to follow, and you're going to see major arrests of, you know, people like, oh my goodness, Hillary Clinton or James Comey or Strzok or Page or whatever. Now they might see some, you know, there's something there, but the big people doing the perp walk. You've been told to stand down, right? Trust the plan, so stand down. Don't worry. We got this for, well, 3.5 years, greater than 3.5 years. Now we've got 100 days left to the election. What do you think is going to happen on that front? You going to see any perp walks, frog marches? Oh, yeah. We got this. It's time to fight. I'm saying that, and I mean that. It's time to fight. But one last thing, because this has got to be said.
Miss Lightfoot, one of my favorites.
That's right.
Haircut Lightfoot.
The lesbionic Lori Lightfoot. I don't even have to say anything. You just throw that up there.
Don't they have the most strict gun control already?
You're going to be all right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, let's defund the defunded police.
So how's this going to work?
More gun control, less police.
Yeah. We're going to send a social worker out to the, to, you know, my goodness. Any cop knows, for example, you respond to a traffic stop or a domestic, and it's like Russian roulette. You just don't know. So anyway, we're going to take the guns away from the law-abiding American citizens because why? Crime's out of control. Chicago needs more gun control, according to the lesbianic mayor. But see, this is a common factor, a common theme throughout the United States. Chicago just happens to be the flavor of the day. And it's so ironic. You're right, Eric the Tech. You're right. So ironic. And I said all of that. Now you think, okay, these are just bits and pieces of information that, well, we knew about all of this. But did you know that all of this is being coordinated behind the scenes? All of it's being coordinated behind the scenes.
You're a conspiracy theorist.
I am. I'm a conspiracy pointing them out. Yep, doggone right. And can we prove it? Oh, you're going to find out. And that brings me, again, to the point that that the Hagman Report have assembled the team and they've been working, and now we're starting to find out where the money's coming from and how with the bricks, the baseball bats, oh, and so many other things. Yes, stay tuned.
Oh, by the way, your order of bricks should be here soon.
Thank you very much. Did I order the red ones or the red ones?
I think we upgraded to the heavier, more durable. Okay. Bricks.
Good. All right.
And throw them at cars as they drive by.
It just damn fell out of my hand. Hey, in a,
we traded all your guns for bricks so we could buy the bricks.
I don't own any guns. I don't like guns. I'm anti-gun. Yeah. I'm, be a lot of bricks. So busy scratching off the serial numbers on the guns. All right, folks. I said all that just to say this because I don't want to keep my guest holding here. Everything that you saw there is connected. Every single thing is connected. It's connected to this cable, this pipe of funding, of organization, the structure, the organizational structure of the groups sending people out, the money coming through to pay the people to, not to be protesters, but to organize the protests. And also the money being used and the blackmail. By the way, this Ghislaine Maxwell stuff. Oh, boy. I got some stuff on that next week. But see, all of this stuff is all connected, money to make sure that the programs the coronavirus contact stuff, that, you know, it's all coming from several similar places. All right. One more thing, lastly, before I end this, and hopefully you understood where I was going with that and where I went with that. Coming out next week, I want to make an announcement. I wrote a book, Stained by Blood. It was published in 2015. It was about the murder of my uncle, but it was also about really my awakening to this spirit cooking, this whole Pizzagate, what people believe when they hear Pizzagate and spirit cooking and all this. They think, oh, this is just a bunch of BS. I loved it. Stained by Blood is out on Amazon. That was 2015. Coming out now to be released next week, In the Dark of Night. Now this is somewhat of a sequel to Stained by Blood, but it's a standalone book as well. You don't have to buy the first to understand the second. This is a continuation of my investigation back in 97 and my awakening to the trail of human and child sex trafficking that I never knew existed, and the mind control. Oh, the mind control, MK Ultra, that played into all of this. So this is my announcement. There it is. And to the supporters, I'm going to make this available to our supporters, the people that supported us first. I'm going to make it available to them first because we love you. And without this, we couldn't do anything about it. So this was a very difficult book to write for a number of reasons. It's finally going to be coming out next week. Stained by Blood, of course, is available on Amazon. We're going to re-release it as well. And it's going to be updated. And Eric did the cover design on both. And I got to tell you, what a great job he did. Because it does reflect the essence of the book. So I want to thank you all for your support. And by the way, HagmanStore.com, coffee. Get some coffee at HagmanStore.com. All right, please. Because the human and child sex trafficking is just incredible. Let's move right into the next segment. HealthMasters.com. Folks, if you haven't done so already, especially now given the fact that we are looking at potentially, you know, assaults on our immune system. We see it happen every day. I want you to build your immune system up. And I want you to have the best products available to you, nutritional supplements available to you. If you're not taking nutritional supplements, you're doing yourself a disservice. This is why I look like I'm 40 years old, right? This is why I look so good, because I take nutritional supplements. Oh, come on. I'm joking. Just go to healthmasters.com. healthmasters.com. There it is right there. HR5 for the coupon code. And get yourself some excellent C, vitamin C. You need that. You need.
I think that's the product of the week, too.
Let's scroll down
and check it out.
That's right. All right. Magnesium brain food. Look at this. Yeah, it is. You're right. Product of the week, vitamin C, excellent C.
That's a gift for them to put out a product that's hard to get right now on sale. That's pretty cool.
That's right. I'm telling you right now, if you're buying your nutritional supplements anywhere else but Health Masters, you are doing yourself a disservice. Go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And let me tell you something. I don't get paid to say this. I'm serious. I don't. There are some things I get paid to say. This is not one of them. It's because I like, and I can notice the difference from taking the products. And by the way, when you go to healthmasters.com, well, Ted and Austin Brower, they've got a program that they do every weekday. That's Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. That's right. See, I've got to say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for those people who live in, Mississippi or San Francisco, just to be clear. But there it is. And on Sundays as well. So Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m., and then Sundays, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern time. You can listen live or via archive. Just click on the link at healthmasters.com. Have I stretched it out? Austin, are you there?
I'm here and ready as always, Doug.
I'm ready as always, too. I'm just going to sit back and, I'm so glad you're on. So many people have sent me emails and said, Austin is so articulate. And I got a lot of emails people who've emailed me and complimented you. Now, I haven't sent those to you because I don't want you to get a big head, but... I got to tell you, a lot of people like what you do, and they love your program, too. They love your daily program. So.
Oh, thank you, Doug. Yeah, I mean, I get a lot of emails just from a business standpoint, so I honestly don't need more to go through every single day, but I do appreciate that. I mean, well, what we're trying to do is just continue to get real facts out there for the family. Last week I went down to West Palm Beach. I had some business stuff to handle down there. Dad took the show, my section, last Friday, so I hope everybody enjoyed that. But it was interesting because, down in West Palm Beach, they have mandated the mask pretty much everywhere you go. You're supposed to wear a mask. I didn't bring a mask, had no intent on wearing a mask, even had a medical paper exemption from my doctor. And so everywhere I went, we had to go to Lowe's. We were working on some truck stuff down there. I didn't wear a mask anywhere, and I actually did not get any flack. Now, I did get a lot of eyeballs from people all over the place that were looking at me like I was, the Grim Reaper walking through the store, like, oh, my gosh, how dare this man not wear a mask? But, I mean, it is what it is. I'm very healthy. I maintain proper sanitation, and I don't walk around and cough on people. The whole aspect's ridiculous. But one incident that was interesting was at a burger joint. I talked about this last week, but if your listeners haven't heard it yet, I want everybody to know this. So we went to a burger restaurant, real high-end burger restaurant, as far as they have like USDA. They even had organic burgers. It was very nice. I'm not going to put them on blast with the name of them because the food quality was exceptional. The employee policy was abysmal. However, they were following orders, which is not an excuse, but it does kind of lend reason to what happened. So we went in the store. I had two of my buddies with me, and they were both from down there, so they immediately put on the mask. Well, I walk in the restaurant, and then, of course, everybody at the table around the whole restaurant, nobody has any mask on at the table, but all the employees behind the counter in the back, everybody's wearing a mask. So as soon as I walk up to the counter, the girl goes, "You have to wear a mask." And I said, "No, I have a medical exemption." I said, "Plus, you have this fancy plexiglass that goes from the counter all the way to the ceiling. There's absolutely zero reason why I need to wear a mask, because we have to wear a mask." I said, "I cannot wear a mask. I have a medical condition, and I will not wear a mask and compromise my health." I pulled out the paper. She goes, "Okay, well, let me get the manager." So she gets the manager. The manager comes out front. So we step to the side of the counter. My buddies that was with me, I looked at him, and I was like, "Listen, go ahead and just throw me a burger on your order. This is probably going to escalate quickly." He's like, "All right, I got you." So I already knew, because I was really hungry. I'd eaten for a while, so I really want to try these burgers out. So it was in the process of getting stuff ready with my other friend. They're figuring out what they wanted. So the manager comes out behind the counter. course, he's got a mask on. And he goes, sir, you have to wear a mask to come in the store. I said, I cannot wear a mask. I have a medical condition. Here's my paper. Nobody else in the store has a mask on. He goes, well, here's the thing. He goes, all I need you to do is just wear a mask, and you can take it off when you get to the table. I said, so you want me to wear a mask standing right here talking to you, but when I get to the table 10 feet away from me, I don't have to wear a mask? And he said, yeah. I said, sorry, I can't do that. I have a medical condition. And he's like, well, I'm going to have to call my manager because I don't know what to do right now. Because I had my paper. This is fully documented paper. And I said, per your county requirements, they state that medical exemptions are a valid reason not to wear a mask. So he gets his manager on the phone. So now I'm talking to this guy, and I'm talking to his manager on the phone. Now I'm in front of, by the way, the entire restaurant. Everybody has stopped what they're doing. Nobody's eating. Everybody's looking at me. I'm vocal. The manager's vocal. Everybody hears this conversation now, including the other manager. It's on speakerphone. And they go, listen, the county's mandated this. If the health department comes in, they're going to find you have to wear a mask. I said, you absolve from all responsibility because I have a basically a medical exemption. And so we literally went back and forth like this was some concept that could not get through their head. But finally, the manager on the phone goes, okay, here's what we'll do. You go outside. He'll follow you, take your order, come back inside, place your order. When it's done, he'll bring you your food outside. I said, okay, now you guys are actually trying to play ball. I said, because the whole time you guys have been essentially denying me service, which is illegal essentially via the American Disability Act. And I said, here's the irony, the reason why I did this, and I want everybody to hear me in here. I said, the entire time we've been standing here arguing for the last 5-6 minutes at the counter in front of everybody, making a giant spectacle of the situation, I could have already ordered my food, sat down and probably started eating it where I didn't even wear a mask. And at about that time, my buddy's food came up. He had multiple burgers on his plate. And I said, now my food's here. Now I'm going to eat. Now I'm not going to wear a mask. You guys have an awesome night. And I went and sat down. And they were bewildered. They did not know how to handle the situation. It's like they were in some random situation staring at a UFO and could not decipher what they needed to do. And we ate the burger, and I do have to admit, they were actually really, really good burgers. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And we left, and that was the end of the situation. And I just thought it was ironic that people are so willing to follow orders that they apparently have some giant clear bubble that goes around the tables, allegedly, I guess, that keeps COVID from getting out. So once you get to your table, you're in this magical realm of protection, and you don't have to wear a mask. But when you stand up and you walk out the door, you have to wear a mask. But when you're eating at the table, you don't have to wear a mask. And it goes to show you, Doug, the level of compliance, the level of submission that so many people are just subjecting themselves to simply because they do not want to have any confrontation. Now down here in Florida, well, this is actually countrywide from what I was told. Lowe's, you know, the home improvement store Lowe's. I get a lot of stuff from there. Walmart, Sam's, Costco, Starbucks, a list of other places have all mandated now the beginning of next week, Monday, that you will be required to wear a mask in their store, no exceptions from what I was told. That's what I was told. I had a buddy work at Lowe's. He let me the same thing. Now, I don't go to Walmart. Definitely don't even grace Starbucks in my presence. They're a full-blown communist store.
Starbucks.
I mean, they heavily support Planned Parenthood and everything else. My thing is, I don't drink coffee. I try to keep my blood pressure down because of my, you know, overall my heart when I was younger. But if I was going to buy coffee, I'd buy some of that coffee that you have that actually supports a true cause and not go support some communist agenda. Yeah, when the CEO comes out and says, if you're pro-gun, we don't want your business, and then I see patriots post online and they're going to Starbucks, they waddle into Starbucks, you know, they'll stand out front, yeah, I'm pro-Constitution, I'm pro-America. Look, I'm going to go buy a Starbucks real quick. You know, I need to get my $8 glass Starbucks fix. And they walk out and I'm like, dude, you're a clown. Like, I've lost all respect for you. I literally will not listen to anything you say. Because, you know, people can talk. People can talk big. But when it comes down to it and you actually want to get into it and you really got to stand up for something and say, no, I'm not going to do this. No, there is a line in the sand. I'm not going to comply with this. You find out real quick who basically, I should say, nuts up or shuts up. And we've seen that now in this country. It's funny to me.
Well, hang on. We actually have surveillance video. Surveillance video of the people wearing masks at that location. I know you didn't tell me. And here they are. This is actual surveillance video of people being told to jump off the cliff there. And there you go. Okay. Just wanted to throw that in there. Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
That was perfect footage. And, you know, and then I've even seen some stores, some online Patriot stores, that are ranting and raving about tyranny, promoting patriotism, promoting a constitutional republic, and then on the front page ad of every single page you go to, they're selling masks that say freedom and stuff on them, which I find that to be quite contradictory. It would have been like if Paul Revere was making handcuffs and shackles for the British and continued to make shackles for the British during the Revolutionary War and said, well, I'm just trying to make some money, so I'm selling them the handcuffs that they're going to put on.
Thank you. Thank you. You know something? I gotta say this because I'm going to friggin' explode. All right. What you said. All right. If I catch anyone near me, near to me, selling masks that says freedom or whatever on there, okay, I'm gonna, you know what? I'll choke them until their eyeballs pop out like little, you know, grapes. Okay. Because that's like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with people? I want to know what's wrong with people. Seriously. That pisses me off.
Here's some facts, Doug, because I pulled up some different articles. I've been researching this for an extensive period of time this week to figure out, because, you know, there's been this huge debate with everybody now. We know that there's not even an argument now. The virus has a 99.7% survival rate. It's better than the flu. You're better off getting COVID than you are the flu. We know that now. So we know if you have an immune system that's relatively strong and you microdose the vitamin C, then take D3 and keep your immune system healthy and run iodine, we already know that you can kick out of this stuff very, very quickly if you've gotten it. We've already seen that. I mean, I talked about the research 2 weeks ago where the doctor basically was silenced. He finally came out and got doctors to do the full controlled study to see what they could do. They had 100% survival rate when they basically used vitamin C and other nutrients with patients. So we already know now that this isn't some, oh my gosh, mutated black plague. It's got an 80 to 90% death rate if you catch it. Basically, everybody's going to die. It's not that. Well, so now the question is, are you actually protecting people or helping people when you wear a mask? And the science that I have found is a resounding no. There's been multiple studies now that have shown that there's very little impact whatsoever in random controlled studies. There was another one here. Let me pull it up. So I got multiple ones on my phone. There's another one. Effectiveness of N95 respirators versus surgical masks against influenza. This was done at the beginning of this year, and they found that there was very little difference in between either one of them. They found another one now. The 10 randomized controlled studies estimated the effectiveness in face masks in reducing influenza virus infections in the community. And they basically went on to here, and they basically found that disposable medical masks or loose-fitting devices that were designed to be worn by medical personnel basically did very little to protect or prevent the spread of influenza. Another article that came out here, and this is the one that's so important that I want to really address with people because I see this everywhere now. People are reusing their masks like dirty diapers. They put it over their face. They put it on the rearview mirror when they leave. They touch it. They handle it. They walk around. I have yet to actually watch somebody do a full-blown decontamination protocol when they change mask out, which is what you're supposed to do. The research that I was looking at, they said if you want to actually use a mask properly and you're going to try to reduce the transmission, even though it's minor with a normal cloth mask, minor at best, you have to have a full decontaminated unit, which would be your vehicle. Fully decontaminated. You have a brand new box of rubber gloves or latex gloves, surgical gloves, and a brand new box of face mask. Every time you leave your vehicle to go into an area that has any type of populace, you have to put the gloves on, then put your mask on. When you go into the store, you basically handle whatever you have to handle, You do not touch your face mask with your gloves whatsoever. You finish your transaction. As soon as you go outside, you do a full decontamination of everything you've bought, anything you've touched. Then you strip your gloves and strip your mask on, and you put them in a biocontainment, basically trash, biohazard. Then you go in to get in your vehicle. When you get to the next store, you do the exact same thing. You put on your gloves, you put on your mask, you get out of, you go into the store, you buy what you need to buy, you decontaminate all of the products you bought with alcohol, you take off your gloves, you take off your mask, you put them in basically a biohazard waste disposal. That is how you're supposed to handle it if you're going to use a mask. I have yet to see one single person even do that. Majority of people I see, they got the mask on the side of their face. They got it below their face. They take it off. Half the time, it looks like they got food on their mask, like they've been wearing it all day and take it on and off. I see people all over the place wearing it on their rearview mirror. Now, the reason why I want to bring that up, this is an article, a controlled research study that was done in 2015 titled "A Cluster Randomized Trial of Cloth Masks Compared with Medical Masks and Healthcare Workers." Now, it's interesting about this. The reason why I bring this part up, it says here that they found not only side effects as far as when people were wearing this mask long term because of reduction of oxygen. I've talked about that repeatedly. It goes into detail on that. And then it goes on to say here, it says, conclusions. The study in the first random controlled trial of cloth mask and the results caution against the use of cloth mask. This is an important finding to inform occupational health and safety employees. Moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection. Further research is needed to inform the widespread use of cloth masks globally. However, as a precautionary measure, cloth masks should not be recommended for healthcare workers. Right here, 2015, they said this. Why? Because the moisture buildup, the humidity, the bacteria buildup, touching the mask, having things exposed to the mask, including the virus that may get trapped on the mask, and now you're touching the mask, moving the mask around, grabbing things, contaminating other things. So this right here shows you the science, not my opinion, not your opinion, the science right here is saying that cloth masks are not a good idea unless they're an extremely controlled environment, you use them properly and for a short period of time. Nobody, I have not seen anybody use masks in this area. Most of the time now people are walking around like homemade masks. Like I said, they have freedom on it. They have one mask they leave in their car and they put it on every time they get out. The bacteria that comes out of your mouth, the moisture that builds up in the mask, it stays there and collects. And then you put it on and you breathe air through it, breathing in that bacteria all day long. Think about it like this. And this is going to be a real nasty picture, but I want to make sure everybody gets a real clear idea. Think about you walking outside, working outside all day, and having a pair of socks on. They get sweaty, they get moist, they get bacteria on them. The same thing it does when you basically breathe. You have moisture in your breath, you have bacteria in your breath, and it basically goes out and collects in the mask. So imagine wearing a sock all day and getting bacteria and moisture in it, and then saying, oh, you know what? I want to go and put my socks on that are wet and nasty, hot and moist from working out in the sun all day yesterday, and I'm going to put them back on my feet again. And when I get done working, I'm going to take them off. And when I go back outside, I'm going to put them back on again. And I'm going to keep reusing my nasty, wet socks all day long because that's the best way to use socks, right? This is exactly what people are doing with face masks, and then they're getting mad at people for not wearing them. We have to make a stand on this, Doug, and the reason why I've been so adamant about this is because this is only the first section of what we're starting to see here. We already know now, I pulled this up earlier, they're saying now the tracking vaccine status by phone is now fully operational and active. They said we now very well may be seeing a point in time in the future where you will be authenticated to enter a sports arena, travel by air, even in your workplace. App Store and Google Play, building the platform that I talked about as far as the contact tracing apps, have now partnered via Civic Technologies and Civic Wallet. Civic Technologies, which bills itself as a leading innovator in digital identity solutions, released its Civic Wallet app June 16, 2020. Previous, it was only available in a private beta mode that was testing. In addition to offering ways for users to send and receive digital currency, including Bitcoin, CBD, USDC, which are US dollars converted to assets on blockchain, Civic Wallet also offers proof of health verifications via its so-called health key. This, according to its new release, will offer the ability to provide secure and regulation-compliant health checks for employees, which may include require you to prove COVID-19 negative or vaccination status. This is active now. This is already being used. So we already know the masks are getting people conditioned to be ready for something more that will make your life easier and go back to normal. We now, if you guys remember, I talked about last week, I don't know if I brought it up or not, the aspect of what we're seeing down here in Florida. Fox 35 News did a full report because everybody's been seeing these labs come out with 100% positive rate. 100% positive rate, which is virtually impossible. It said the report showed that Orlando Health had a 98% positivity rate. And I called this out straight BS beginning of the week. I knew it was garbage. However, Fox News, Fox 35 News contacted the hospital. They confirmed there were a few errors in the report. Orlando Health's positivity report rate is only 9.4%, not 98% as reported. Now we see basically another article coming out of Texas that Texas officials now have had to remove at least 3,484 cases from their COVID-19 positive case count because the San Antonio Health Department was reporting probable cases for people never actually tested as confirmed positive cases. And we heard the same thing about this down here in Florida. So we see this happening in factions of Texas, Florida, which means this is not It's not only in these areas. It is not secluded to these areas. You know it's all over the country now if it's in these areas. So we know now they're taking probable cases with no tests, and they're putting them down as confirmed cases. So that begs the question then, what exactly are we seeing happen here? Are we really seeing the full-blown manipulation of data in order to stoke and invoke more fear in the general populace so they can push more tyrannical measures onto us? It appears to me that's exactly what we're starting to see here, Doug, because these numbers aren't adding up. I told you, I go all over the state on a regular basis. I've been everywhere. This is not going on. We hear, this hospital's overrun in their ICU. And I talked to somebody in the nurse. They're like, no, we've got ICU patients with COVID. I talked to a girl the other day that was from Lakeland Regional. And she said the COVID patients that are in ICU are doing better than all the other patients in ICU. They're recovering super fast still. Wait, what? That's not what you're hearing in the mainstream media. You're hearing that the test rates are through the roof right now. Yeah, of course they are. Because everybody's got COVID, according to these studies and according to these doctors that are doing this test. If you come in, it does not matter, even if you test negative. They're putting you down for positive COVID. And that's a serious problem, Doug, especially when you see everything that's going on right now. And then on top of that, there's another incident down here in Florida. Let me see. I got my article right here. Sorry, I dropped my paper. Unprofessional, but it's okay. I'm the most professional, unprofessional person you'll hang out with. The Florida health official admits man who died in motorcycle crash listed as COVID death. Now, I noticed this one real quick. So I used to ride motorcycles for years. I started racing motocross, and I got on the street bikes. Managed to stay alive down here in Florida. Some of my friends were not so blessed to make it through life and make it out on the other side on motorcycles. I did. But the issue is Dr. Paul Pino, Orange County health officer, talked to Fox 35 News that a supposed coronavirus victim in his 20s died in a motorcycle crash without any underlying conditions. Pino said, when we asked about removing the man from the death count, they started arguing and discussing why we want to do this. They said the fact that the individual didn't die from COVID-19, he died in the crash, didn't matter. They said you could argue that he could have been the COVID-19 that caused him to crash. I kid you not. That's what they said. The COVID-19 could have caused him to crash, so he was a COVID-19 death in the state of Florida. They are literally grasping at straws down here, Doug, to do everything they can to get the population so scared that they're willing to accept any type of tyrannical measures. At the same time, nobody wants to talk about Maxwell and her involvement with child trafficking. They want to argue with you about face masks. Nobody wants to discuss the fact that we had a $2.2 trillion bill passed 3 months ago that we're getting saddled for that the American population literally got pennies of. We're not talking about about the fact that these hospitals are getting tens of millions of dollars a month in further federal money out of that $2.2 trillion bill based on how many COVID-19 patients they have. We're not talking about any of that at all. We're not talking about how the mortgage default right now is at an all-time high, they're starting to say, becoming worse than 2009. Nobody wants to talk about that at all. All they want to do is say, the stock market's great, the economy's bouncing back, everything's doing good, we just have to suppress the COVID by wearing a mask and we'll be good. The only reason the stock market is back up to pushing these numbers of where it was is because the Fed admitted they were going to pump $4 trillion of taxpayer funding into the stock market to make sure they kept it as stable as they could. As soon as that money is pulled back out, it is going to plummet like a rock in a lake to the very bottom. We have to make a stand right now on our stance with this. This is why people say, well, you know what? The mask is what it is. You have to deal with it. No, it isn't is what it is. Did the colonists say it is what it is when Monroe sent a group of basically redcoats to seize their ball and powder? You know, it is what it is. We just need to comply with them. We'll just listen to what they say. We don't want to have any conflict. It'll make everything easier. No, they did not say that. Hence where we are here today. And this is what people have to remember. It's always a gradual frog in the pot analogy you have to look at. If they came out 6 months ago and they said, listen, we have a vaccine for everybody. We have COVID tracking for everybody. We're implementing it next week. It's fully mandatory. You would have had a full-blown Civil War II on your hands in this country. But if you can continue to beat down the populace, tell them it's for their protection, to wear a dirty diaper mask all day long and say it protects you, you need to do it for the greater good of everybody else, and you get people to comply, then you can bring in the COVID tracing app. Then you can bring in further restrictions. Then you can say, hey, guess what? Once you get the vaccine, everything will be great. Isn't it ironic, Doug, that the shortest time vaccines are ever allowed on the market, vaccines that have been currently allowed and still continue to be produced, is 4 years. 4 years of research testing. 4 years of research testing on vaccines that are still currently available on the market right now. And most of those still have detrimental side effects and have aborted fetal tissue and aluminum and all kinds of toxins. I can go on all day about those. But yet now we have a vaccine that's been being worked on for the last 6 to 7 months, and now we're going to have it rolled out by before the beginning of the year. Now the Trump administration is saying they're saying they want the vaccine to go in full production within 6 to 8 weeks now, and everybody needs to take it because the virus has a 99.7% survival rate. The COVID right now with no vaccine has a higher survival rate than the flu does with the vaccine. So riddle me that. Why do I need to get injected with a Bill Gates mandated vaccine, Mr. Pedophile himself, that's on the Epstein log numerous times, been kicked out of India, kicked out of the country, and had formal charges against humanity filed on him because of what he did to those poor children in India with the polio vaccine? You look that up. You can research that and see what happened. All the stuff he's done all over the world, and we're supposed to believe this guy, bankrolling billions of dollars of COVID vaccine, we're supposed to trust what he has to say, the same guy who tells us we need to wear a mask for everyone else's safety? I'll pass. I'll accept freedom. I won't accept the other one. Have a nice day. Go on your way. That's my stance on that, Doug.
Austin Brower, you are right on the mark, and this video was just uploaded about an hour ago. You had mentioned about the motorcycle crash and the COVID-19. It's because of the coronavirus crash. And what you referenced, if you'll allow us, we'll play this video so people know what you're talking about. It's about a minute and a half. Is that right? Let's play it.
Good evening. I'm Lou Ann Sorrell. We start with big breaking news tonight. Fox 35 questioning the coronavirus numbers and uncovering a shocking revelation. A man dies in a motorcycle crash, but his death listed as a coronavirus death.
Fox 35 News investigating. We dug through the data, and then we asked the questions. Fox 35's Danielle Lama joins us live from Orange County tonight. Danielle, how are officials explaining this?
Well, Charles, they really haven't given us much of an explanation at this point. The way we found out is I was asking the county health officer about
two coronavirus deaths involving people in their 20s and whether they had any underlying conditions. Then one of his answers surprised us.
The first one didn't have any. He died on motorcycle accident.
New questions tonight about the accuracy of the state's coronavirus death numbers. Orange County Health Officer Dr. Raul Pino telling us one person reported to have died from COVID was killed in a motorcycle accident. So was it removed from the data?
I don't think so. I have to double check. We were arguing. We were discussing and trying to argue with the state. Not because of the numbers. I mean, it's 100. It's not make any difference if it's 99.
Yeah.
But the validity that the fact that the individual didn't die from COVID-19, dying in a crash. But you can actually argue that it could have been the COVID-19 that caused him to crash.
What?
So I don't know the conclusion of that one.
We looked into it, and there are still two people in their 20s on Orange County's data list for COVID deaths. So is this a contradiction to how the state says it's counting deaths? The Florida Department of Health sending Fox 35 a statement saying a COVID death is determined if COVID-19 is listed as the immediate or underlying cause of death or listed as one of the significant conditions contributing to death, or if there's a confirmed COVID-19 infection from a lab test and the cause of death doesn't meet exclusion criteria like trauma, suicide, homicide, overdose, motor vehicle accident, etc.
The only thing that I could say to people is that the data that I'm providing you with is the data that we consume from the state, and we are offering you to the best data that we have.
Is it me or does that guy look like a pig? And by the way, what's she doing wearing a friggin' mask out there in the middle of nowhere?
Outside! On all COVID-19 deaths.
Cut this shit.
We also reached out to that office.
Sorry. Please stop this.
No, that's the first thing I thought. As soon as I saw it out there, I was like, they got a closed sidewalk for a doggone interview report, and there's nobody even out there. I mean, I don't see anybody. You see anybody, Doug? I mean,
that is the biggest mask I've ever seen.
It's huge. Doesn't fit her at all.
The very first report from the Fox News of 2019.
I mean, that's a perfect example. It's a face diaper. That's exactly what I called it.
It is a face diaper.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you really want to make a difference, if you really feel like you want to change it, you need to be wearing a full respirator mask, like a full tear gas mask, like they wear on SWAT. If that's what you really want to wear, that's what you need to wear. I mean, well, I thought about the other day, though. I thought about going into Lowe's in a full bio suit, full, I mean, taped up everything, full mask, regulator on.
I got a picture of me, Eric the Tech, my wife, and my daughter going to Walmart. Did you have that? Right before we went to Walmart, I sent you that picture just moments ago. Do you have that? Hang on, Austin. We went to Walmart, and we wanted to make sure that we were in compliance. So we took a family photo here. Hang on. It's coming. Eric the Tech's got fight. There we are.
There you go.
There's Eric the Tech, second from right, you know? Yeah. All right. Enough. It's just crap. You know?
You look super skinny in this picture.
Go figure. White slimming, isn't it? All right. Yeah. So, but you know what? You're right. What you said, you are so right. This is about control because, 4 months ago, weeks ago, no one would have put up with this, right? Or whenever. However you said it, what you said a little bit ago. I know, I can't keep track. You're so, like, right on the money. I just... Where's the story?
Well, no, that's exactly what you have going on here. And this is the... where's it at right here? Let me see if I can pull it up. Yeah, right here.
Right, here you go. People should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
There you go.
When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think.
There you go. See, and that's what Fauci said like 3 months ago, and he even said that in one thing, that it was morally symbolic. That wearing a mask was morally symbolic. To me, if you start looking at a lot of the stuff behind the Satanism and the Druid worship and everything they have with masks, That appears to me what a lot of this is. It's almost like this symbolic form of submission. You're going to wear a mask and you're going to submit and you're going to like it. You know, it's that one thing, you know, on 300, the first one, King Leonidas, he goes, submission. He goes, yeah, see, I got a problem with that one. That's not going to work, bud. And that's just kind of where we're at with this. If this was really something, this virus was this advanced and this deadly to the entire populace, we would truly need to be in a full-blown state of lockdown everywhere. And that means no Walmart, no Sam's Club, no Starbucks. It would need to be a full-blown lockdown, like some Resident Evil crap going on. Board up your windows, tape up the windows, everything gets fully locked down, hunker in your house with food and water, nobody leaves the house at all, everybody stays in. We got the doggone black plague turned into avian bird flu, the 90% death rate. If it was like that, I would say, yeah, oh yeah, chill out in your house, don't be running around. You go outside, go, you know, full gear, full kit. But that's not that. So the aspect of what we're seeing with the virus being this minimal for majority of the healthy population, so the populace that is older and maybe more predisposed to have health conditions from it, why are they not staying at home? Why does the entire populace have to compromise their health, breathe through a moisture bacteria-ridden mask all day long? Because some people may have a compromised immune system that maybe go out in the public at some point in time. And then you're trying to say that's going to protect them when it doesn't. So it's just, this is something that everybody needs to stand on, Doug, and everybody needs to be aware of. It's been very troubling me to see so many patriots that just say, you know what, I don't want any trouble with it, it's fine. And then they get online, they get on the keyboard, they talk about how, man, Revolutionary War, Boogaloo boys, we're at it, coming at you right now, lock and loaded. You see them at stores like, well, man, I just had to put on my mask, I didn't want any issues. You know, I'm wearing my freedom mask, though. It says freedom on it. You know, I'm making a point when I walk around, it says freedom on it. I said, yeah, you're making that point, bud. Put a mask on, says freedom, while you muzzle yourself because you were told to do so. You're free, bud. Keep trucking along. Keep jumping off the wall. And it goes back to basically what I've said this entire time, and so have I, Doug, is that keep your immune system good. You should have done that before this. You should do it after this. Keep your supplement intake up. Keep your hands washed. Use proper sanitation. Make sure you're getting adequate sleep. Turn your Wi-Fi off at night. It's interesting. I'm sidetracked on this. I had a buddy come over the other day, and they were talking about some stuff, and I was showing them the new house. We finally moved in 2 weeks ago. It's been exciting, finally, after a year and a half. And, you know, I told everybody one of the things I did, since it's a new build, I was able to design it and build things and put it exactly the way I wanted. My router is upstairs in my attic. I did the spray and foam insulation, so the attic stays pretty cool. I have a little, like, a table above my air handler where I have my Wi-Fi router. And so I have an outlet that all my internet plugs into in that outlet right up beside the router. And that outlet has a switch, a two-way switch, down beside my bed. So at night, before we go to bed, I just walk over to the switch, click it off, internet's completely shot, the entire house goes dark. So the reason why I did this is because I found out years ago that I was having trouble sleeping. And one of the primary issues that I noticed whenever I left a Wi-Fi router on, so Ted brought it up to me years ago. He said, try pulling your Wi-Fi router out, unplug it. I've heard a lot of people saying this. Sure enough, I'd pull my Wi-Fi router out, unplug it, I'd sleep good. And it wasn't like, oh my gosh, every single night I sleep like a baby, there's no issues, obviously. But what I noticed a lot of times when I try to sleep, I have almost like restless sleep. Like I take some good supplements, I'd eat a good meal a couple hours before, I'd be ready for bed, but I'd wake up a couple hours and wake up a couple hours. And it wasn't, you know, to use the restroom or anything. It was just, I just wake up, go back to bed. That cut that out when I shut the Wi-Fi off. And so I was showing my buddy this. He came over the other day and I was showing him how I fixed it up with the switch and everything. And he goes, you know what's funny? He said, my wife's been having the same issues. And he goes, I wonder if that's it. I said, dude, I said, shut your Wi-Fi off. Don't tell her, though. Just shut your Wi-Fi off and see what she says after a couple of nights. I say, hey, babe, you've been sleeping pretty good. How are you feeling? And sure enough, he texts me up the other day. He goes, man, he goes, you know what's funny? He goes, I did it for 3 nights in a row. And I asked my wife how she was sleeping. And she goes, you know, she goes, I'm still kind of tired, but I actually feel like I've been sleeping a little bit better the last couple nights. And he didn't tell her anything. Then he flipped it back on to see what it would do the next night. And she woke back up. She goes, I don't know what's going on. I didn't sleep again a good last night. He explained to her about it, and she got kind of mad at him at first. But she was like, wow, we need to keep it off tonight. And so, again, I encourage everybody to do that. It's not healthy to sleep in Wi-Fi radiation all night. It's really not. You don't need your internet while you sleep at night. Nobody's up, unless you're working, obviously. But if you're not working, you don't need that Wi-Fi on. I heard some guy, it's embarrassing. I'm not going to say his name. He told me I was telling him about this. And he's like, oh, yeah, man, it's probably not a bad idea. It probably works. He goes, but my kids, you know, they like to play video games until like 12 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to shut their internet off. And I said, who pays the internet bill? Why do? Just shut the internet off. If they're not paying for the internet bill, they're not paying for the rent, they're not paying for the property tax, and they're not paying for the electric, and they're not paying for the water, they're not paying for the septic, why in the heck are you catering them so they can play video games at 1 o'clock in the morning? Tell them to go get their own apartment, they can play their video games all night. He goes, oh, man, you don't know my kids. I said, oh, you don't know me. It's sometimes when I see people cater to children like that, like, you know, it doesn't matter about anybody's health in the family. They'll cater to their children. It goes the same way with sodas and junk food. Their kids want the junk food. Their kids want the soda. They know they got to go to the dentist all the time to repair cavities. But it doesn't matter. They will buy the soda and the junk food just to appease the children because they don't want to deal with any backlash. Embarrassing, though. Embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, I give my grandson coffee just because he wants it, you know.
Yeah. You might as well give him, you know, a little bit of Coke while he's at it. You know, hey, want a little powder? You know, you want to snort some Coke while you're at it? I mean, it's like, where is the line drawn with a lot of this stuff? Where in the sad part is you see it with Adderall now. I've seen kids get Adderall all over. I get phone calls and emails all the time. Doctors putting these kids on Adderall. It's a Schedule II amphetamine salt. It's almost identical to cocaine in the brain. But parents give it to their kids because the doctor says, well, it'll calm them down. I mean,
yeah.
Sad.
No, it is. You know, I hope people really understand, Austin. I'm going to say this now: the importance of nutritional supplements. I don't think, at least in my view, I hope everyone listening to this tonight order Ultimate Multiple, order your vitamin B, vitamin C, your vitamin D along with K2 from Health Masters. Please do that. Please do that. You're going to notice an absolute, I can't even describe it. It's kind of like a boost, a force multiplier. You've got to order from Health Masters. Use HR5 as a coupon code for all non-saleable items. But please do it tonight. And, you know, this is not a sales pitch, but it is. We want you around. We do. We want you around. And not only that, we want you around productive and feeling good. And this will do it for you. And especially the vitamin C right now. You really need that. It's back in stock. But how long? I don't know. So, vitamin C, with the, antioxidants, vitamin C powder, but, oh boy, vitamin C powder? How come I didn't see that before? Is that
new? We've had it for a while. It's the vitamin C antioxidant formula in powder with a little bit of stevia with it. I've talked to you about it. A lot of people, you'd be surprised how many people haven't realized it. The powder is great because you can throw it in a protein shake, a smoothie, even just straight water, and it's actually very palatable. I give it to the kids sometimes, too. I'll put it in, like, some organic juice, and that makes it a little bit tartar, but it's still very good to drink. And it makes it easier, especially if people don't want to take capsules or pills, because a lot of people, you know, don't want to take pills. That's why same thing with the multiple powder. We have the multiple powder, the capsules, the chewable.
Yeah, I knew that.
We try to cater to everybody the best we can, and that's when people have excuses like, well, my kids won't take pills, not going to swallow pills. I said, okay, well, here, we got chewables. Oh, they don't want chewables. They're not going to eat that. Okay, how about you make them a milkshake or a protein shake or a smoothie and put it in there? Every kid loves milkshakes or smoothies. I don't know a single kid that doesn't like smoothies or milkshakes. So the excuse only goes so far with me because I've tried to make sure I've catered to every single excuse that people come up with to make sure everybody has the option to stay healthy. And even, you know, and same thing that we've talked about, Doug, just the vitamin C and the D3 alone, we have seen tremendous results for people that have gotten sick or that have had issues. And I'm not making any claims. I'm not claiming to cure anything. But you know, you can look at the research and the random controlled studies that vitamin C and D3 are crucial in fighting off viruses. Doesn't matter what virus it is, they're crucial to that. Now, some of them may have a bigger impact than others, but the research speaks for itself from decades of scientific literature. So if you know that it increases your white blood cell count and it can help your immune system, it can fight off infections and it can fight off against viral infections, why not keep it in your body on a regular basis to fight everything off? Our bodies were wonderfully made by God Almighty. They're not a mistake. God didn't make a mistake when he made our immune system. It's so complex. I mean, when you start looking into the physiology of our body and you realize how it works when it's exposed to a virus, it's amazing. And that's what troubles me so much when you see these young children get brought into these pediatric doctors and they shoot them up with all these toxic vaccines at 6 months of age. First off, any person that has any background in physiology understands that your immune system doesn't even start to build up until a year and a half to 2 years. Meaning the aspect of vaccination before that time period is pretty much null and void. There's no significant impact of having a positive impact on the body. In fact, it's quite the opposite, especially when you look at the adjuvants and the aluminum and the thimerosal in some of them and the aborted fetal tissue. That's the one that always drives me up the wall. Aborted fetal tissue? No. And it's ironic, they're making this new RNA vaccine that's actually designed to change a small portion of your DNA to fight COVID, allegedly. They're using it and culturing it again with the aborted fetal tissue at an expedited rate that we've never seen a vaccine in history get approved this fast, especially something as an RNA vaccine that has never been approved by the FDA before this. Very, very troubling. And I encourage everybody, do your own research on this. You don't have to listen to me. Do your own research. Look it up. Go and look it up online and look into RNA vaccine technology. I encourage you to do that. Look at the aborted fetal tissue that they have used in vaccines for decades now. It's not, they don't try to hide it. It's in plain sight. And then debate if that's something that you really think a virus that has a 99.7% survivability rate is worth risking on. We already know Moderna's first research human test studies that they did, that was backed by Fauci, had a 20% severe reaction rate. 15 participants, 3 of those participants were so severe side effect ridden, they had to have medical intervention. That's not something I have any intent of putting in my body, Doug, but I don't know about everybody else. I hope more people wake up.
No, I totally agree with you on that. Where's the line? And to be serious for a moment, where's the line?
To me, the line's masked already with me. I'll be honest with you. A lot of people think that's an early one. To me, that's a soft line. It's more of a starting phase line that says, okay, this is where you're getting metered in at. That you're at 1,000 meters. You're dialed in. You're at 500 meters. You're dialed in. They're right on top of your ass right now, Doug. We're there. To me, the masks are at 1,000 meters out right now. They're at that line. The virus, the vaccine, what they're trying to put, that's basically right up to the edge where there is no more question. There is no more anything anymore. It's basically put the bayonets on the M4. We're there. And that's why I keep telling everybody it's a lot easier to resist something when it's 1,000 meters out than when it's 5 feet in front of you. And this is what so many people are failing to grasp, and they just keep using you need to do it to protect everybody. You need to wear a mask to protect everybody. Dude, the research is there. I already told you the research studies. You can rewind it and look it up. They show that the masks do not hardly provide any significant impact in protecting from influenza spread. Much notice they have a detrimental impact on the wear if you continue to wear the same mask over and over again. And I don't know a single person that wears a mask and throws it away every 20 to 30 minutes and reuses the mask. Everybody I've seen reuses the mask all day long. No one wears gloves. So that's the thing. If you think you're doing something good, at least go all the way with it. If you want to see how to really do it the way they tell you to do it, and then you will find out real quick how unbelievably inconvenient it is to try to do it properly and healthy from that standpoint. And majority of people would say, I'm not doing this anymore. This is a nightmare. But nobody wants to do it. They just want to put it on and pretend they're doing it for the greater good when you are not doing anything but submitting to what we are seeing right now. It's just 1,000 meters out. It's not on top of us yet.
Well, I think at this point, you know, the first hour I went through, I did talk about the COVID test or the coronavirus positives in Florida that you mentioned. I did talk about Cuomo saying, without your papers, health papers, $2,000 fine, facing imprisonment, papers, please, yep. Nazi Germany. And, you know, what you said, though, about the masks, you know, it's and we laugh at the lemmings, you know, going over the cliff. It's funny, but it's not funny. And every one of us is going to have to make that decision. Are you going to, you know, what's your line personal? Are you going to, what are you going to do? Are you going to let this happen to people, or are you going to let this happen to you? You're going to say, well, I'll just go along to get along. No. So I don't see any way out of this, except that's what I believe.
No, this is going to continue to escalate. They're going to keep doing it. And the thing is, the more we can expose it, like even the article on Fox 35, even though it was kind of clowny with that stupid mask she had on, things as big as her face, if we keep exposing this stuff, we're going to prove a point. But the problem is, majority of people are too scared to expose stuff right now. I mean, for example, you see Gavin Newsom out in California, governor out there, in 30 counties, they've shut down churches again. On top of that, they mandated that restaurants, bars, churches, fitness centers, hair salons, barbershops all must be closed over 30 counties. They said no church service, and they said there is no definite end date, which tells me California is getting prepped for the vaccine is what they're going to do. They're going to say, listen, we can bring back a normal. We can bring back a new normal, but you have to get your vaccine. Once you get your vaccine, you got your pass, you can do whatever you want. And you see them laying it out. You can watch it in plain day what they're doing. And the troubling part is to me, Doug, is so many people that have been big mouths for the last couple of years that are, you know, we're going to stand our ground. We're not going to submit, are now literally saying, you know what? The vaccine's not that big of a deal. If we all get it, it'll be fine. We'll have herd immunity. We'll have the COVID pass. And I'm sitting there with my jaw on the floor looking at them going, wow. You really, really do not see what's happening right in front of us right now. Does anybody think it's ironic that they're tracking every single thing you do now with this COVID app tracing, that the COVID pass is going to be used to control what you can and can't do? The COVID-19 is literally just the tip of the iceberg. It is the warm-up session to get this stuff in place. Nobody's looking at this. Everybody's playing it like go fish when you need to be playing chess with these guys. They're five steps ahead of you. Once the COVID pass is implemented and once they get the vaccines implemented, do you think it's going to stop there, Doug? Do you think it's just going to miraculously go back to normal and nothing's going to happen with any of this stuff? Absolutely not. It is the beginning phase of the Chinese social credit score instituted in America that everybody will be signed into on their phones, and they will be controlled, monitored, tracked, restricted at any point in the time because they do something they're not supposed to. They figured out how to get it implemented in America, and it's right in front of our eyes. A majority of people do not want to open them and see what's going on, and that is why I've been going all over the place, talking to everybody I can talk to, doing any shows I can to try to wake people up the best I can, even though I'm getting a ton of flack. I mean, I'm getting some of the most flack I've ever gotten in my entire life right now, Doug.
Oh, yes.
I don't care. I don't care anymore because, to me, I feel passionate about this. And I don't feel as I'm wrong about it. And other people feel the same way, and that's okay. But the truth about it is, we're going to find out in 6 months. We're going to find out the brass tacks in 6 months. Who called this out and who tried to wake everybody up and who went along with it like good little sheep. And now we've got ourselves in a big old fat pickle. We got to figure out how to get out of it because we didn't want to do something 1,000 meters out. That's my stance on it, Doug, and that's where I'm at.
Eric the Tech, he said pickle.
I did say pickle.
You know, look, this is damn serious, and I agree with you, and I think that we absolutely, positively must make waves, go on every show we can, say no, this is not going to happen. In addition to making yourself strong with healthmasters.com, I want to kind of leave on a funny note. Or a humorous note, because it's Friday. Dr. Fauci, you showed Dr. Fauci saying the mask, mask won't work, right? I mean, that was from 3 months ago.
Yeah, it was like 3-4 months ago. It's towards the beginning of stuff, yeah.
Okay, here's something we just got in. Dr. Fauci now recommending this for people to avoid, in place of the mask, if you don't want to wear a mask, during transport, this is an alternative. Go ahead and play this. This recommended by Dr. Fauci and seconded by Scarf Lady Burks. Here's how we need to travel. There we go. You just that'll fix anything you got, right? So all the drool and everything will hit the. There you go. Enjoy. All right, that's enough. I guess that didn't land as well as I thought it would. But you know what? We're talking about something very serious, and I didn't mean to, make it unserious or not serious by that. But Austin, we're going to fight, and we're going to remain true to our God, our country, and our families. Right?
Amen.
Healthmasters.com, HR5 is the coupon code. Got to go. Good night. Thanks, Austin.
See you guys.
All right.